pictures of myself. That's how it goes.
Music video, man. My name is Adam Fairholm, and welcome to another episode of the Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, and the person who kind of bombed my intro with his own personal selfie, that's Doug. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good. I was watching this music video, and I didn't hear you started talking. I heard Nina Nesbitt, and not you.
So then we also have Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you? From Fringe Music Fix, sorry.
I'm very good.
Good. Everybody's good. And we're kind of recovering this week, because last week we just ended the show and the bomb dropped of... We should mention we're recording this on Thursday, December 19th. We're recording on a Thursday night. And last week the bomb dropped of Beyoncé's visual album, 17 music videos, I think 17 songs as well, or whatever, available only on iTunes. So that was...
Yeah, we were just sitting here, and it was just like, oh, it looks like Beyoncé released an album. Oh, there's a music video for every song, and then there went our whole week.
There we go. It was down the drain.
Haven't looked up since.
So I guess we could talk a little bit about that first, because that was a big... I mean, in the music world, that was very big, obviously, because nobody knew she was going to drop this album. But in the music video world, this was also pretty large as well, because not only were there, you know, 17 music videos, one for every song, but they were done by a variety of well-known to lesser-known directors, and they were only available for quite a while on iTunes. You had to buy it on the album.
Many of them still are only available on iTunes, save for 30-second previews. Of course, it all came out that night, that midnight, last Friday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now there are two available online, Drunken Love, featuring Jay-Z, directed by Hype Williams, and XO, directed by Terry Richardson. So of the two songs / videos, or of the two videos that have been released, it has been of the higher profile director variety.
Right. And I think one of the other high profile names, well, Jonas Åkerlund directed, I think, two for, yeah, Superpower and Haunted, and also, well, in High Williams, which we directed a few, but of those, Drunken Love was released. But we also have Melina Matsoukas, who is definitely, I think, a big name in the music video industry now.
Oh, definitely. As is Jake Nava and some of the other guys as well. What I meant to say is that of the two that have come out, none of the lesser-known directors have had their videos released yet.
And Jake Nava, if you are a fan of Single Ladies, Put a Ring on It, that music video, which I am, that is who directed that video. So we also had Ricky Says, and somebody whose name I will not attempt to pronounce, Peter... Adam, do you know how to pronounce that name? It looks French.
Where are we going here?
We're looking at, read it. Look at Ghost. Ghost by Beyoncé.
Or Mine. He also directed Mine.
Yeah, he directed too. Dubuchet.
Ghost by Beyoncé. Debuchere.
Debuchere.
Yeah, that's how I would have said it. That's not freaking little internet. That's an important one to drop. I was stoked to see that name attached to a Beyoncé video. Lil Internet is he's done a bunch of like Diplo videos and just like really like he's also basically like a Twitter account. Like people know him just as his Twitter account. Some people probably don't even know that he's a music video director and just know the Twitter account. But yeah, really really stoked. He's I'm pretty sure he's from Houston, and so is Beyoncé. Let's double check on that before we all start just making up stuff about Lil Internet.
Lil Internet owns 18 Arby's franchises in and around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Congratulations, Lil Internet.
Congratulations on owning those Arby's. Anyway, he did direct the video.
So if we're talking about difficult premieres, I mean, difficult in terms of being able to track them, I think, is the main thing. Because, you know, obviously one of the names of the game for the site for us is tracking views, and this just makes it impossible, obviously, because iTunes, of course, Apple does not release anything like that, although they did release download numbers of the actual album for publicity. They did not, they obviously are not tracking views of, you know, how many times people are watching the videos, these videos, or what videos they are watching. You can't buy individual tracks off this, so there's no way to gauge popularity of one song versus another. So it's completely opaque, as are most things with Apple. And, you know, the only real indication we had of popularity, like Doug, like you said, those 30-second previews and the two videos that actually came out on Vivo. Other than that, it's been a complete mystery.
And even the release of those two videos was unorthodox, because they came out within 2 hours of each other on Monday afternoon, and then she hasn't come out with any of the others since. I thought they were going to come out every 2 hours until they were done. You know, for over the weekend, we weren't even sure that these were actually going to be released on the internet. And then they just started miraculously popping up on Vivo. Like, you know, we just kind of happened to be looking at Beyoncé's Vivo to be like, hey, maybe there is one. And there was one. And so it's just start to finish has been totally unorthodox. But there's one thing I wanted to talk about, and that everyone has kind of been mentioning. And everyone's like, oh, you know, she put out this album, no promotion at all. And granted, there is almost no promotion at all, but music videos are promotion, aren't they? Like isn't it like the point of music videos? They're essentially commercials for the song sometimes, and that kind of thing. Like, instead of saying that she's done no promotion, I think that the more accurate thing would be to say she's done no promotion outside of music videos for this album.
Well, I would say that, except for the fact that for 15 out of the 17 you can't see them. I mean, I thought, you know, you're right.
Yeah, music
videos are technically commercials. But, you know,
And then an artist is only going to typically have two, you know what I mean? Like, for any album, you know what I mean? It's at this point in the release of an album, to have two music videos out for it would be standard.
That's true, yeah. I agree with that.
And regardless of how it was released, though, like, this thing had, like, a massive internet impact, like, even though it all dropped at once. I don't know if you guys saw that that chart that unfortunately BuzzFeed dropped. It was a map of North America, and it showed the Twitter mentions, or however other whatever means they tracked the data. And it was the moment that Beyonce album dropped on iTunes, and like it was just internet explosion. So this thing definitely had an impact. I mean, yeah. Not any artist could do that, but.
No, definitely not. And I'm not suggesting that we can't, this isn't like unorthodox and that anybody else would have been able to pull something like this off. But those music videos are definitely a form of promotion. And though she didn't do any interviews or give a release date or put any of the music videos out prior to the release of the album or anything like that, you know, these videos were viewed, you know, far more times than her album was bought. And so, you know, these are still, you know, forms of promotion. I mean, the Drunk in Love is going to pass 10 million views, and XO is going to be around 4. So, you know, she had it's outstanding album sales, but it isn't those numbers.
And interestingly enough, these aren't the two of the better videos either. The best are yet to come. So those numbers are going to be even better, I think.
Well, I think that one of the – so I guess, Doug, the one you mentioned that's going to be 10 million views, I think it was one of those weird weeks. You know how, like, sometimes two movies get released around the same time that kind of have similar themes and stuff? It's just funny that Beyoncé's Drunk in Love featuring Jay-Z, who is her husband or
– Yeah, I think they're married.
I can never tell if artists, they're free spirits, so sometimes they don't get married. And then there's John Mayer featuring Katy Perry, who I don't think are married. I think
supposedly engaged, but that's like a super new relationship. I didn't know they were together until the video.
Oh, I totes knowed that.
I didn't know that.
Down. So there's a.
It hasn't been long though, right? Like
it's been a
2 months.
No, it's been a year
really?
Or longer. Yeah, it wasn't a big public kind of relationship, but you know, I don't know. The thing is that my Nana likes she's a big fan of the People magazines and stuff. So she leaves them around whenever I'm around my Nana. I pick those up and I flip through them and I get the news like that. So it's just funny that those are two are sitting at 2 and 3, because those are two videos that are that are like two celebrity artists featured, you know, it's concentrated on these two people and the song is about them and the video is featuring them and the still of the, you know, of the song, it features both of them. And the only person not staring at the camera in the still is Jay-Z. he's decided that he's gonna look away. But they're two. It's just the difference is very interesting. And you know, I think
Beyonce drunk. Oh, finish your point. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just gonna say that I think that you know, even if I like Drunken Love video a lot, even if I'm not exactly a fan of the song content, but I think that one of the reasons they dropped that one is because there's so much interest in the relationship of Beyonce and Jay-Z, and he has a lot of draw, obviously. So I think it was a smart one to drop early.
It is graphically about their relationship, that's for sure. It's just like me and Jay-Z having sex, oh baby.
But it's such a weird. It's just such a weird thing that John Mayer dropped the other video because his duet with Katy Perry is so. You watch them back to back and you're like, man, John Mayer's a pussy. Like this is like
but it's a music video. Like I think that the way that Beyonce and Jay-Z, I mean, it's effective and like, you know, they're you know, this is a type of video that you're not always going to get from an artist. I feel like the combination of like Jay-Z and Beyonce with Hype Williams is in this case is like the perfect matchup. Jay-Z and Hype Williams have been working together for a long time, and you don't normally like look at director artist relationships the way you do. You know, you don't really look at Hype Williams and Jay-Z the way you would look at like say a Hero Mariah and Earl Sweatshirt, where you're like, yeah, those guys are definitely on the same page, they're doing something together. But like that really probably does happen. I bet you there really is like a lot of, you know, energy between Hype Williams and these two artists. You know, they're kind of all on the same level of each other. And so I think because of that's why this video seems so kind of like intimate and real, despite the fact that these are like basically fake people. I mean, Beyonce and Jay-Z are I'm just saying like they're so famous I'm not saying that they're fake people, like saying they're fake, like being pretend, but they're just so famous that they're like, they've become like, they're like sainted, you know what I mean?
And so caricatures of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And so like to get something that actually does seem so real and intimate, you know, I think that they clearly seem to like trust Hype Williams in order to kind of like open up for him the way that they did in this video. I mean, it's very personal with Beyonce and stuff too, even the stuff with just her. It's just,
it's a fantastic performance video. And I mean, yeah, both of them are just unbelievable in it, especially Jay-Z, who doesn't really show up with his face until his verse.
Right.
And he's got a glass of what I assume is
something expensive.
Hennessy of cognac or something like that. And he's
got a Brooklyn Nets hat on.
Yeah, and he's just
speaking of Jay-Z's face, did you guys catch his face on the hat in the XO video when she's on the roller coaster?
That's Biggie. Yeah. That's actually Biggie's face.
No way.
Yeah, it's Biggie.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
No, it definitely is. No, that's right.
You're
right.
Adam, I'm with you. I assumed it was Jay-Z. No,
that's a Biggie.
As well.
That's a Biggie hat, you guys. That's the picture of Biggie when he's got the crown on. That's 100% a Biggie hat.
Okay, the crown.
It's you know, like the picture. There's like a famous picture of Biggie where he's got the crown on his head, and that's that picture.
We can talk about the XO video. The XO video, directed by Terry Richardson, is.
Well, I just wanted to say one last thing about "Drunken Love." This is definitely like the single from the album. That's what, like I've like read that this is going to be the one that they're going to call like the single. They might come out with all of these videos, but this is going to be like, that's going to be the single from the album. And so it's no surprise that despite the fact that XO is going to come in at, you know, 3 or 4 million views, that it still was, you know, a fraction of what Drunken Love is. But yeah, no, that's definitely Biggie.
I'm looking at it. Damn, how did it I guess I just, that was just, my mind
I
saw what
wanted
I wanted
it to
see.
Jay-Z. Yeah,
me too. You guys.
I was actually thinking we'd get like some kind of a reoccurring cameo in each video.
Oh, that would be funny. She wears a Brooklyn Nets hat though in that video, so maybe that'll be the reoccurring thing. Because Jay-Z was a short term owner of that team for a little while, and when I say owner, he owned like a fraction of a percent. But he did, and if you remember, he at the Barclays Center where the Nets play, Jay-Z was the first person to perform there ever, because he used to own that team. But yeah,
the trivia. Doug is just showing it off now.
Knocking it out of the park, right? You guys saying it's Jay-Z on the hat. But yeah, she does. She's pretty sure she's got a Brooklyn Nets. She's got a Brooklyn Nets hat on at some point. I could just be making that up. I definitely saw one.
You're not making it up. So I just wanted to complete the thread on the synergy between the John Mayer and Beyonce videos, because it's like Kennedy and Lincoln thing happening here, I feel like. Because Katy Perry, and there's such opposites, because Katy Perry, who, she's not the primary artist on the track. Who You Love is from John Mayer's Paradise Valley album from earlier this year, but Katy Perry obviously just had Prism released, and she took the absolute opposite stance with regard to promotion, which a lot of artists did this year, like Arcade Fire specifically, and Katy Perry, and
Daft Punk
spent basically the entire year of 2013 fucking with us. And remember this, was it the Super Bowl that they had the there was some very large TV event where they had just one, that they just had the Daft Punk helmet symbol, and it didn't say anything about Daft Punk. It just sort of, it was like the first teaser.
I think that was
Saturday Night Live too. They dropped some.
Yes, it was Saturday Night Live, and then when we were in at South by Southwest, there were big wall posters. Yeah,
yeah. So Warren did those. Warren Fu.
That's right.
Famous Warren.
And you know, Katy Perry also went down that path. She did. She had like a big semi truck driving through Manhattan that had Prism on the side. I think it was Manhattan. I mean, it was just sort of an all out onslaught of publicity for this, for her album. So it's a kind of an interesting pairing, Beyonce and Katy Perry, especially because this is a little late to be dropping an album in the year as well, since everybody's done with their. Not that Beyonce gives a shit about anybody's top lists, but
yeah, no.
December and January are traditionally dead months for music in general.
Beyonce's not pulling a Wale and like calling. Did you guys hear that clip of Wale calling Complex magazine and like threatening their life for not including him on the 50 best albums of the year?
No,
like really I'm like just so angry. Juicy J album better than mine. Like just so upset.
I'm gonna put. I'm writing that down as a link. Wale Complex.
Wale Complex magazine. It's aggressive. And then they put him on blast. Like when he called, they like put out a video on Complex. Like here's a message from Wale. It's just him just berating the guy.
Oh man.
Anyway, let's move down the list. So both EXO and Drunken Love are fantastic videos. Technically, we could be adding all of these to our best music videos list, and it would be justified. But you know, we know that since we've seen them on the iTunes CD, that you know, that some really spectacular videos are up to come. So. None of these videos made those lists. What do you guys think? Is that a mistake?
What list? What are you talking about?
Our staff picks.
Because we know what's coming. Well, what are you guys excited about that's coming up off the album?
So yeah, the Melina one for Pretty Hurts looks like it's going to be really interesting. As is the other Hype Williams one and the Lil Internet. Those are the three that I'm most excited about. What about you, Adam Alexander?
I actually can't recall now which ones looked cool to me. I only just the 30-second teasers that night, and I don't remember the titles of the ones that looked good. But I do know that there were some that appealed to me more than these two that dropped.
So the two, I bought the album, so I have the videos and I watched them all. And Pretty Hurts is really good, and so is Lil Internet's one.
No Angel.
No Angel is also fantastic. No surprises there.
And I'm hearing a lot about. There's one that's. Getting some commentary on it.
Blow is the one that seems to be that.
Full Grown Woman. There's something about that one there. I don't know what, but I see that one tweeted about a lot.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait out because I do not remember that one.
So they did release full cast and credit lists for these videos, though. So it's very interesting. You see some of the people who are in some of these other videos. Solange pops up in two or three of them. Kelly Rowland is in one. Harvey Keitel is in one. So those are some interesting cast members that appear in these Beyonce videos as well, which despite not having the videos out, the cast list is out and on our website that you can look at and read.
Look at it and read it. Do both at the same time. Those were that was good that she put those up there. She should have just put them on our site and then linked to it, but whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
It's difficult to navigate on our site. I don't know. I'm gonna.
It's way easier on IMVDB.
It is.
Oh, easier. So it's grown woman. And it actually may be available. The site that I'm on now says that it was just dropped at some point today.
Well, that's a lie. It's not
a liar.
Was it dropped by Beyonce 55103 Vivo or whatever?
Right. It's called Beyonce Music Videos. well, if it was added, it was not added to her Vivo account. So there, whatever website you're on.
All I've got is Drunken Love.
I'm on justjared.com. So.
Just Jared, he's the guy who,
like the rings, the subway guy. Who's Jared?
No. It's Just Jared. Is if you listen to like Y100 in Florida, he comes on and to do an obviously pre-recorded like gossip segment. Where the guy's tell us about Katy Perry and John Mayer's music video where everybody's writing me a mechanical bull, and then there's no interaction between them. You can kind of tell that he just like
recorded some answer.
Yeah, canned answers. Anyway, so I don't know about that source, but
these are Y100. Y100 guy. So there's like three people on the planet that get that record. What else was popular this week? We kind of blasted right through the most popular video of the week because we had to talk about Queen Bey. Let's talk about Eminem the Monster, directed by Rich Lee, featuring Rihanna. What'd you guys think of this video?
Well, Eminem and Rich Lee are a interesting pair because when they get together, he's done pretty much. I mean, if you look at his director history, it's a ton of Eminem videos. It's like, but he including Rap God from this album. But when Eminem and him get together, they either go the way of. I mean, I thought Rap God was a fantastic album, but they get really serious. Like, Not Afraid, I think, is a great example of that, where you know the song is about Eminem's. drug addiction and rehabilitation, subsequent rehabilitation, and you know there's parts of the video where Eminem's like flying around a city and stuff. It's very earnest, and it's, you know, I'm not making fun of it or anything like that, but when Eminem and him get together, it gets very, very earnest, and this video is super earnest, especially the end of it. But it's one of those videos, you know, we've seen this before where artists will go back through their old videos and you know, create kind of like a music video that somebody did this recently. I can't remember who it was. Do you guys remember?
The Killers.
That's right.
Another Warren Fu, but they did it with a model playing the part of what's his name?
Actually the girl from Glee, right? Whatever her name
is. Oh, yeah. I don't know. She's just pretty enough to be a model.
It's the girl from Glee.
Okay, whatever. She's posed for something. Okay.
Yeah, somebody's taking a picture of her. It wasn't a selfie. Ooh, that's called.
Ooh, gosh.
But anyway, because the metaphor of this is, you know, the monster is the monster inside or whatever. And Eminem takes a little elevator and goes through some of his old music videos and then gets to the bottom and. Which is kind of clever that the monster is Eminem in a cage and he like throws out bits of paper with, you know, I'm assuming are ideas on them, and Eminem goes to this dark place or whatever within himself, personified by this him in a cage, you know, with guys with loaded guns pointing at him, and gets, you know, ideas. It's a really sort of like really earnest kind of grand metaphor about like creativity.
And don't forget Rihanna's a shrink.
But she actually plays the part of the shrink pretty well in the office scenes. I could definitely see her as some sort of psychologist.
I would definitely tell her my problems and let her sort through them for me. She seems like she'd be great at that. it's just funny. Like, it's Eminem, you know, he's still got it with the music videos. I mean, he's to be outperforming Beyonce at this point is pretty significant, because despite the fact that there might have not been any buzz, you know, paid for and generated by Beyonce, there was plenty of buzz that you know happened in reality, and that's where it comes from anyway, right? Like, you know, a billboard with the name of Katy Perry's album is only going to do a fraction of what, you know, internet buzz is going to generate. And so it's pretty impressive to me. And, you know, obviously Rihanna was part of that pull, I'm sure, for this video. But, you know, week after week, whenever Eminem comes out with a video, he's always at the top of this list. So,
and they're all really high concept videos, and they're all really good. Eminem is definitely never phones it in with videos. They're always like completely fully into the premise. He always goes all the way.
Yeah, and if you listen to our interview with Syndrome, who directed the first three videos off of this album, including the live video that he did for the YouTube Music Awards, they talk about how involved he is in the process, and I've talked to other directors who've worked with him before as well, and they've all talked about how he gets really involved in it, and it's you know, as somebody who runs a music video database, you know, it's great to see and hear. And he comes from a time when, you know, obviously came from MTV, played a big part of why Eminem is now successful, and so, you know, and he hasn't really lost that. He still kind of keeps bringing you know, like creative ideas, and that he definitely is buying into. So thanks, Marshy.
Well, I think a lot of his early videos were part of. I mean, Doug, you and I were like 15-ish in 2000, in 1999, 2000, when Eminem came up, and heavy MTV viewers and videos like My Name Is and The Real Slim Shady and Guilty Conscience. All directed by Philip G. Atwell, coincidentally, were like in massive heavy rotation and definitely had an impact on us during that time.
Yeah, he did making the videos with those things. They did a thing where he was like just 24 hours of Eminem. They had him hosting the MTV news and everything. Like, MTV was a huge part of. He's had several videos retired on Total Request Live when they used to retire them. One other one that was huge was Forgot About Dre, although that's a Dr. Dre song. But God, to think about how many times I watched that Forgot About Dre video on MTV, it's insane. It's insane how often they play that video.
What is your – do you have a favorite Eminem video?
Guilty Conscience.
Oh, yeah?
Huh. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That might be my favorite Eminem song too, and it's either "Guilty Conscience" and "Role Model" are up there as as two of my faves. Really early. Hmm. What about you?
I like ass like that, not because you know, one of the puppets. I wrote a music video relapse on this, and the reason I love this so much is it is such a bizarrely. Context, like when you take it the video in its context, it is such a bizarre commentary on sort of free speech and Eminem and what, you know, the way the public sort of in the news kind of filters what he says and how it warps what he says, all kind of encapsulated inside of this, you know, kind of comedy music video. It's a really weird video. It's one of the. I'll link to the post. I kind of looked at it from a perspective of, you know, Triumph. Obviously, the whole song is about Triumph the Insult, Colin McDog, and he's factors into the video as well as the puppets. And there's all these like changing perspectives. It's a really bizarre video, and I like it a lot.
It's got Pauly Shore in it.
Does it?
And the, I don't know, I just played it, and the very first person in this video was Pauly Shore. So there you go. And are they the puppets from
Crank Yankers?
Yeah, that's what I thought, because he was on an episode of Crank Yankers, where he was making crank phone calls. So
was
words.
He?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was very. Yeah, he was just like a guest on it. Just did one or two segments where he.
Is that Brittany Murphy too? I thought I saw Brittany. Oh, there's Pauly Shore. He's like in the background.
Yeah, he's in this very. He's the very first shot. 3 seconds in, he's there with some guy with an afro. Brittany Murphy makes sense though. She's in Eight Mile.
And a victim of poisoning, apparently. Anyway, yeah, I think it was drugs. Well, they said the two toxicology reports have been done and say that it might have actually been poisoning.
Like murder?
They don't know if it was murder, but it might have been. Yeah, that definitely is Brittany Murphy. She's only in there for like half a second. Half her face is obscured, but I haven't noticed that, huh? We'll have to get a credit for that in the database.
Throw her in.
Adam Alexander, do you have a favorite Eminem video?
No. I'm not very. I'm actually. Hey, what can I say? I mean, I miss the Eminem explosion, and I can't say that I'm not familiar with many of his videos.
Did you like any of the ones from this year?
Well, not a whole lot. Like, they weren't bad, but. I'm not actually feeling his music. I really like the one sound that he had, 8 Mile-ish. Like, Lose Yourself is a really good track.
It's got a video. Do you like, what's your favorite Robin Thicke song? Video. What's your favorite Robin Thicke video?
Not the new one.
Definitely not the new
Blurred one. Lines.
Blurred Lines is. Well, he As a video that came out the same year as Blurred Lines, Robin Thicke released Feel Good this week, directed by Sophie Mueller.
It's Mueller. I don't know why people keep calling it Mueller. Is it Mueller?
Who's people? Is it just me?
I think it's just us. I think we got into. I think we got it in our head that her name has to be pronounced in a fancy way. But
is Mueller a fancy way?
Yes, I think Mueller would be M-U-E-L-L-E-R. It's Mueller. If it was like Bill Mueller, you wouldn't say Bill Mueller. It was just Bill Sophie Mueller. I'm gonna go with that.
Who's Bill Mueller?
Sophie Mueller has two videos on the top 10 because Who Do You Love? Who You Love was directed by Sophie Mueller as well.
I'm gonna keep calling her Sophie Mueller. Who do you love?
Who do you love
is. I don't. Is that? Right, the John Mayer video. Right, I forgot.
What it was. Who do you love?
I love Sophie Mueller. should we have mentioned that the rest of the people in the John Mayer video are real couples? Does that matter? No.
I don't think it does.
Robin Thicke, no, because it doesn't. It doesn't matter. It's like, oh, those people really get to touch each other like that.
With the Robin Thicke video, I mean, it's important to remember that Robin Thicke has, he's kind of had to do a little bit of some brand new work, right? Because he had the whole thing with Miley Cyrus, which is kind of overshadowed. I think Blurred Lines in a way, and even the controversy surrounding that. So here we go again. I mean. Robin Thicke has had a long career before Blurred Lines, and this is kind of a little bit of a return to form of him being, you know, a sexy, suave, sentimental singer guy, and the whole concept of this video is kind of a stage show with projections. It's a really beautiful video. We already said it was directed by, but it was it's definitely more of a low-key video than Blurred Lines and the sort of in your face, you know, nudity and that kind of stuff. But it's still, I think I like this video a lot.
Even his last, what was his, Give It To You, was also very in your face and huge and massive. Not to say that this is like that Feel Good is some small indie music video, but
it's got lightning flashes. He's on a stage with the dancers and there's like a big, you know, sunset in the background. It's definitely like a visual concept video. And it works really, really well, though.
It does have great colors.
It does, definitely.
So are women objectified in this video?
I don't care.
I'm just kidding. Remember, we talked on this very podcast recently after the performance hit, he and Miley's performance. And I think, you know, we at that time there was like a lot more pushback against Miley than obviously there's been since, because I think, like we predicted then, that she came out on top of that situation, and that Robin Thicke kind of not so much. He kind of loses in the mix, and he kind of has had to come back from that. You know, we don't really talk about Miley needing to come back from that performance anymore. That's, you know, that's the cornerstone of Miley's year. And Whereas, I think Robin Thicke is having to backpedal or recover from the way he comes out looking post that performance.
And you got to think that there may be, and I'm just speculating here, but I feel like there's kind of a talk within the, or there must be some sort of conversation on Robin Thicke's side of where he wants to be kind of culturally, because he had a massive profile. High profile hit with Blurred Lines, and he can do a lot of different things. So he, with this video, he definitely seems to be positioning himself, and I feel like it was probably a conscious decision, in the kind of like the Michael Bublé category. There's a lot of suits, and you know, there's a lot of gambling imagery. There's sort of a lot of like Frank Sinatra-ish kind of styling and imagery. There's definitely a place for, you know, those types of singers and stuff like that. So there are parts of it that feel to be like a little bit of an image shift, because but there are still the ladies in there, although they're definitely styled like, you know, Vegas showgirls rather than, you know,
naked,
yeah, rather than totally in the nude,
or cheerleaders in the case of the Give It To You video. But there's still some like over the top moments that seem to be calling back to some of his other videos. He's like waving around the champagne bottle as glitter kind of floats out of it and stuff. And
he does that a lot. There's like a
it goes on for a lot.
It's a 1 minute sequence of him constantly doing that.
They keep going back. He's left and right, and then at the very end, it ends the video as well. He throws up the glitter, and then it says "Feel Good" at the end. Reminding us of the name of the song.
I want to feel good.
Always. Take some lewds, some quaaludes. That'll do it. Quaaludes mentioned on the podcast. Let's move on to number seven.
Sponsored by
drugs that haven't been used in 20, 30 years.
Are quaaludes an actual... Is that like Nutella, or it's like a brand name, but do we equate it, or like Kleenex, equate it with the actual product? Somebody's Googling it to sound smart.
No, that's not true. I have no idea. I think so. You know, just like people will say Xanax, but it can mean, it doesn't mean it's the, I have no idea. No.
Can we talk about selfies? I want to talk about selfies.
No, wait. What do you mean? We're going to blow past the video that we staff picked that's on the top list?
I'm Aquarius by Metronomy?
Yeah, it's a fantastic video that I think Adam Alexander should detail.
Yeah, it's just definitely an awesome video. As Metronomy is known for very good music videos. Their whole body of videos is excellent, and this one is no exception. Kind of a different track for them too, stylistically. I know we don't usually talk about the songs too much, but I think it's a part of the video, and a little bit more repetitive than their songs usually are. But yeah, the video is basically a voyage into outer space with the front man landing on a hairless cat planet. There seems to be some evil, sinister female types that also dwell on this planet.
Sexy female. Evil, sinister, yes. Sexy female types.
I would say these are models, not actresses.
None of these girls are on Glee?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely confirm that none of them are on Glee. But it's a great video. Just really well directed. I'm not really familiar with the director at all. I don't know what else he's done, but this is definitely in the running for one of my favorites of the week, for sure.
Edouard Sailor, is that a Sailor? I think that's how you say his name. We've actually interviewed him on the podcast, on the blog for his Scratch massive Waiting for a Sign video. But he's done stuff for Rafael Sadiq, Massive Attack, Justice, well, 30 Seconds
That Justice video is awesome.
Actually. Yeah, he's a fantastic director. And you should mention that the space, it's kind of like it feels a little bit, it's like a retro style, the way they approach like the space. It's kind of like
the original Star Trek.
Yeah, or like a Lost in Space style, you know, like I don't know, like the just like the era.
The ship.
Well, the ship.
Cardboard, like the interior looks Star Trek-y.
But yeah, like the lighting and the styling of the screenshot of it, which is from the beginning of the video, that is like straight out of 2001.
Yeah, okay, you're right. 2001 is a better reference. But what I mean to say is it definitely doesn't look like futuristic, and it's not like that future Miley Cyrus video that came out a couple of weeks ago. Right. It's definitely more of a retro space look. And Adam, you're right. Metronomy does make fantastic music videos. They've worked with Megaforce, Dave Wilson, some really big names in the game. So this is another one, another great music video.
They have a thing for cats, I think, too, because their Hypnose video has
cats pop up. Cats make an appearance. Yeah, let's go. Let's push on because We Don't Give a Fuck is talk about a bad song. We Don't Give a Fuck by Sam Pepper is a bad song. what do you guys think about this bad song? So we can push right on through to Selfies, which is an incredible song if you'd like to. Or we can talk about this bad song.
Well, yeah, I wanted to. I can intro Selfies.
Okay, let's do that.
Because Selfies is, now we had a superlative on our lists of the most literal interpretation of a video, and we gave it to the one, the bro hug one, and what was the name of that song, Doug? Help me
What's
out
up?
On that.
It's called What's Up.
What's Up, yeah. So this is definitely much more of a literal interpretation. Now, I don't want to insult Nina Nesbitt, but this is sort of in the realm of like a Rebecca Black-ish type thing. Not, I mean, it's obviously significantly higher production values than Friday ever was, but it takes a very simple concept, and which is her taking a selfie, and turns it into a music video, basically. And, you know, obviously, selfies are pretty big in 2013. I guess taking a picture of yourself is something that
I think it's been big for a while, but
the word
selfies is... Is way
it was big. just added to the Oxford Dictionary this year.
Thank God.
And Justin Bieber was an investor in a company that basically was like a selfie app. So anyway, there is so she's but the subtext of this song, I guess, is that she's, which is something that is actually people have identified as a something that people do, which is sort of curating your image or doing image branding for yourself through what you post on different social networks. So she's talking about kind of, you know, that's why she pulls down the screen and says she's like in Egypt or whatever. I guess the subtext is that she's trying to impress somebody. But that is something that people definitely do, which is why there have been reports of, you know, people feeling depressed because they look at Facebook and all they see is people who are, you know, molding their image that they put on out there for only the good things. So they kind of get this false impression that everybody else is only having positive things happen to them.
Yeah, it makes me really sad. And when I see that, because all I do is post pictures of myself crying to Facebook. and that doesn't get as many likes as people drinking Patrons. Doesn't get any people making comments with emojis. Oh, great transition into Orthodox Point Never Boring Angel, which features a whole bunch of emojis. What do you guys think of this video? I know what Alan
Are we done with selfies?
We could be because of that great transition, but we can backtrack if we need to.
I think we need to backtrack just a little bit.
Okay, let's back on track.
I don't know what we need to say, but I'm watching it right now, and it's just
I mean, I think that you were very kind to it. You were way more kind to Nina Nesbitt selfies than I was to Sam Pepper.
Why do you have such this irrational hate for Sam Pepper?
Well, it's the irrational. Have you listened to that song? It's just like, fuck, we don't give a fuck. Skateboards. That's what that song is about. We got to capitalize that A.
Well, anyway, Nita Pepper is hot. Oh, no, Nina Nesbitt is ridiculously hot, and she's just it's a thing called selfies, so it's just her the whole time, so it's fun
she
to
gets,
watch.
She can Snapchat me any day.
Directed by Courtney Phillips, who's actually a really I enjoy Courtney Phillips' work. She has done other work for no wait never mind I'm looking at it wrong.
Well, she has she is prolific.
Nina Nesbitt? Do you follow Nina Nesbitt on Ninagram?
Yeah. I thought that said Instagram for a while, the little fake UI they made.
But it's Ninagram. So now can we talk about the emoji video? I think you just don't want to talk about the video because you hate emoji.
I don't have any problem with emoji.
Oh, okay, good. We put emojis in our Facebook post about this video, but I was torn in my soul because I thought that it's possible that emoji could be singular and plural.
I don't think it really matters, but I just get frustrated because I can't – I have to Google how to get emojis on my phone every time I want to use them because I can't find them.
Really?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know where to find them, so I don't use them at all ever. I know, but I can't – I don't remember. That's a problem.
That's sad. You don't use them frequently enough. That's the problem. The ones in the Orthodox Point Never video are 100% iPhone ones. That's very important to know that these are the iPhone emojis in this music video.
Well, so and let me take us through the plot of this because I wasn't entirely clear.
It's basically like a guy falls in love and then has trouble in his relationship and starts taking a lot of drugs and drinking a lot and then dies.
Yeah, he meets another woman and then he's on the verge of suicide and then he discovers that there is reason to live and he goes on some trips and shit and then he does some more drugs and yeah, then he dies. I think it's important to add in that he does see a little bit of happiness after the initial breakup.
Yeah, you're right. That does happen. You're right.
And the beginning is just him kind of waiting for love. It just shows the clock. That's like the first. I would assume that some people turn this off before it gets good.
Before it gets going, it's literally like the first minute, maybe minute 30 seconds, is either just the straight face emoji or a clock.
And then the iPhone is also in there too, which is probably him just looking at a blank iPhone screen, waiting for messages. Maybe
that's what I interpreted it as. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too, guys. and so it's and the whole video is only one emoji at a time. It's right in the center of the screen, in the center of the frame, to the point where it's even hidden by the play button on YouTube. And it's literally just white all around it otherwise. And it's just like rapid, potentially seizure-inducing. Rapidness to the cuts between that. I think somebody even complained on Adam Alexander's Facebook wall when I was creeping it today them potentially getting a seizure from this music video. So, John Michael Bowling directed this video, and it's fantastic. It's another one that we picked of the one of the picks.
Do we know this guy? Is he one to watch this director? I'm curious.
Johnny Michael. It's our only music video on the website currently directed by him. But his website is Google with about 500 votes. So that's fun.
That's really good.
He seems like a great guy. Seems like a great guy. But it's definitely like emojis are about as popular as selfies are in with the teens these days. And so it's definitely a very 2010 music video. No 2001 Space Odyssey references in this one.
So there's also that video where Kenny Chesney looks like Pitbull.
male country musicians need to stop going into tanning beds because there are so many screenshots of country singers just looking ridiculous, so ridiculous, with just way too much either self tanner or or something. And yeah, Kenny Chesney's got a little bit of that going on this week in his video for, what was it called?
Spread the Love.
Spread the Love, yeah.
An 18K for Kenny Chesney, that's got to be a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, you know, things are definitely obviously slowing down for the year. That there also weren't nearly as many. There's only about 50 music videos so far that we've got from this week up on the data, up on the site as well. So things are definitely slowing down unless you're Beyonce, and only one person is. What was your favorite video this week, Adam Alexander?
Just looking at a list here.
Let's go to Fairholm first.
No, Adam's going first.
I've got it. I will say this could change, but I really liked that Griswolds video, The Courtship of Summer Priestley.
Okay.
This
week, yeah. But we found it this week.
Was it a late last week video?
It was December 11th. Okay. So that's technically last week, but we discovered it this.
Well, let's go with Fanagram then, Blackout Days.
That okay, that's a great video. It's up on the homepage right now. Talk about this one.
So, first of all, awesome track. Second, probably one of their better videos in terms of imagery. They've had only a few music videos. And this one's really cool. It's just no narrative, just basically a series of shots, a lot of smoke, and people in shiny gold and silver body paint, and an old dude with an owl that looks kind of cool. And yeah, and she's like amazingly hot, so she doesn't really have to do much of anything.
Ooh, but she makes awesome. some sweet shoulder dances, doesn't she?
She does have some good shoulder dancing. Yeah.
Was the wise man who knows nothing in this video?
The wise man who knows nothing?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys remember the Portlandia thing?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, God, yeah. With the Kickstarter for the music
video.
I do. And the guy's, and Fred Armisen is the director, and he goes through this long explanation. And he goes, actually, I was thinking about that in the Eminem video. I was with the elevator. I was expecting the guy, the wise man who knows nothing, to appear.
It's worth noting that is was based on a real Kickstarter campaign. So this video actually fits into the kind of that most of the Fantagram videos don't feature very much narrative. We have the When I'm Small from 2011, directed by Isaac Ravi Shankara. Also a fantastic video, is also just kind of driven by, you know, kind of images, a lot of performance driven by images. A lot of performance stuff and not much narrative. Same with their Don't Move video from 2012. But yeah, this Blackout Days is a really great video. I thought it was excellent as well. Fairholm, what's your fave of this week?
Well, I know it's cool. It's more interesting to pick the more out of the road ones, but I really liked Drunken Love with Beyonce featuring Jay-Z. I think that's my favorite one. I love good performance videos, and Jay-Z and Beyonce kind of brought it for the whole time. They brought. Is somebody laughing at me?
Not me. I think that was just some noise.
I think somebody was laughing at me for saying
break. No, it was my cheap microphone was rubbing on my sweater.
Well, now you got me all self-conscious.
No, for reals, this is a good video. It's cool to pick a popular one. I will do that sometimes too.
And the other one, I have to say that I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound like I was dumping on Who You Love. I think it's also a good one. It's obviously just a completely different approach to it, but, you know, John Mayer and Katy Perry have had some messed up relationships, so Let's all, it's good that they're together and they're making these sepia tone music videos together. And there's another, here's another parallel. They're both not in in color. The Who You Love is in sepia tone, and obviously Drunken Love is in black and white. So I'm gonna write an essay on this.
Grayscale.
I'm gonna write it in Adam's great book of music video essays.
You should do that. Drunken Love is a really good video. I think that we should put this. I think this is one that we should put as a IMDb pick. I think you've just convinced me.
There we go. Do it. So, click that button.
Well, then, I did.
And Doug, while you're clicking that button, tell us about the music video that you enjoyed most this week.
Mine was probably I'm Aquarius, so I suck. I suck because we already talked about that one.
Which one?
The space one. I'm Aquarius.
You should do a runner up.
Runner up is probably Blackout Days. Blackout Days. I Wish I Was a Girl is a fantastic video as well, and I really enjoyed it. It's a documentary style video. I like the other ones better.
And we should also just quickly mention, Adam, could you read the title of number 5? It's French.
Yeah, it's Tous les Mêmes.
They're by Stromae.
Tous les Mêmes.
And that's actually a pretty interesting video. It is.
I really liked it.
There were a few videos that dealt with androgyny a few of them dealt with drag queens. I don't think this one dealt specifically with drag queens, but
about the one with the girls from Drag Race or the guys from Drag Race?
Yeah, yeah. So this was not that one, but this was directed by Henry Schlofield. And
who's a pretty prolific director as well. He directs. He's works a lot.
Definitely, yeah. He's a prolific output, and. And I thought this was also just it's a very interesting and well-done video, which, I mean, case in point is it's, 1.72 million views for the week. And, you know, it's by an artist that I had not heard of, and not that I'm a bellwether for anything like this, but it is definitely not, it's wedged up in between, Beyonce and Robin Thicke. So this is a video that people were really interested in and were definitely passing around.
Yeah, definitely. And Adam, did either of you guys watch this Ready for Love video by, I think it's Gorgon City? Did you guys check this one out?
No.
We posted it today. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, though. I do know the artist, and I've heard the song, and it's excellent.
Yeah, so. And it was directed by Sing J. Lee, who did most of the Church's videos from earlier this year. So it's also one to check out. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably looking for videos to check out. And that's one of them.
Check it out.
And I agree that Stromae one was it caught me a little bit off guard, but I thought it was really good as well, actually. Anything else cool that we need to make sure to talk about?
Well, I should just mention that this is the holiday season now, so if you are traveling and you need something to listen to, I will be doing my own traveling over the weekend. We will 12 hours in a car, and it would be weird to listen to my own podcast, but we have several podcasts that I would recommend that you should check out if you're listening to this. One of them is an interview we just posted with Mr. Dale Rage Regostini, episode number 87. Go to imvdb.com/podcasts and you can get that one. Great interview. Dale has done hundreds of music videos, and it was a really entertaining interview. He's been in the music video industry for a decade. And then we have an interview with Cameron Duddy that came out in early November, episode 82. Cameron has directed videos for Bruno Mars, including the Lazy Song with the Gorilla Mask version, and videos for AWOL Nation for Sail and a few other tracks. So definitely check those out. And I would say we're starting to rack up a pretty good cachet here of this week in music video episodes, and I would say a lot of those are good as well. But if you needed to go back into the archive, and let's say you're going for a long trip and you just can't get enough IMVDB podcast, I would definitely recommend sashaying around in the room with Warren Fu, who we've mentioned in this podcast. Warren Fu did a lot of work with Daft Punk, The Killers, and many other artists. That's episode 53. And Doug, would you recommend anyone specifically?
Yes, I would, if I could just go to the podcast page for some reminders. That was a good one, the one that you mentioned, Sashaying Around the Room. Another really good one. I would say Saul Levitz actually is also a very interesting one, which is right after the Warren Fu episode. I direct you to that one because you can learn a little bit more of a side of the industry that's not typically talked about. Saul Levitz is a music video commissioner, so I think it's a really interesting chat there.
There we go. There. Are you guys doing any traveling over the holidays with the Z?
I am not.
Adam?
No travels this year.
Just sticking around the cribbo.
Yeah. Is this our Christmas episode? This is it.
I guess this is the Christmas episode. Yeah, this is the holiday episode. Couldn't you tell?
We should have done a gift exchange.
No, we did. You guys, we did do one. That we'll link to the pictures in the show notes of what we got each other. We had a secret Santa. Mine just said Adam, so I didn't really know.
I got nothing. Right on the side of nothing.
Yeah, right. Because I didn't want to get it. No, I got you both Tim Hortons gift cards.